Well, I got my 30 days leave, came home in the last part of November. As a matter of fact, we had Thanksgiving dinner on the ship coming back. I went over to Arkansas and was there for about 7 or 8 days while they were processing all these guys coming back. At that point, I was a sergeant. The sergeant there, I told him, I said, you know, I just live in Tulsa. It's going to be a few days. Why don't I go on home? He said, take off, leave me your phone number in case, you know, I can get a hold of you. So I left him my folks' home number, come home and spend 2 or 3 days and go back. Nothing ready. I'd come home for a day or two, go back. Finally, I got my orders and was sent to 101st Airborne Division. It was actually a training division. It wasn't really a jumping outfit. I mean, it originally was. 101st was, you know, the big outfit, Bastogne during World War II, the big battle. That was a big deal, 101st. But they made it into a training outfit. So I was put in there as a training instructor, as one of the cadre, and spent the rest of my career there. Except for 3 months, I did go down to Fort Benning, Georgia, and go to a heavy and light weapons course for 3 months down there at TDY, temporary duty. Came back, and that was it. Got discharged in 1953.
Well, you made sergeant pretty fast, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So you were showing leadership abilities as a 19-year-old.
Well, that and two, we were losing men, so, you know, somebody has to fill the gap.
Okay. However, as a sergeant, then they put you in leadership training and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, you were fulfilling the role, not just filling out an empty space.
Correct.
You were being a sergeant. You were being a good sergeant. I'm trying to compliment you, but it's obvious that you were if they put that kind of effort into you. Did you enjoy those days when you came home?
I enjoyed them a whole lot more than I had the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it was nice because we were down there in training and the job was an easy job. You're just taking the troops to classes and you're taking them out in the field and training. It was a very easy job, and it was kind of an 8-to-5 job, really. You got off on Saturdays at 12, so you had Saturday afternoon and Sundays.
Were you a friendly sergeant? I only asked that question because I went to basic training in Fort Leonard Wood. Of course, those sergeants would be different than the sergeant you were. Those sergeants were drill sergeants, and we didn't like them. They probably could have been nice, but in your role, your personality could be used in a better way and probably nicer to the troops. Or were you a hard?
No. I was a field first. I had a first sergeant, which was with the captain up in the CP there. And then the field first, and we had 3 platoons. Sergeant in each platoon, and then field first. Actually, Sergeant Carroll, who was the first sergeant, he was master sergeant. He was up there, him and the 3 platoon sergeants and myself. So there was really like 5 of us. All we did is in the morning, we'd follow the troops out. If they went to class, we'd march them to class. Oh, we'd jump their bottoms once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd get out of line and, you know, they wouldn't keep the barracks clean or something. We'd do things you couldn't do today. We might come in at night and those barracks looked really bad and we knew there was going to be an inspection tomorrow morning. We'd fall the troops out right in the middle of the night, blow a whistle, get them up out of bed and fall them out and do a dress right dress. We'd make them dress right dress and just leave it there for a minute. Right front, dress right dress. Just, you know, for meanness. Now we'd take them, now get in there and clean the barracks. And this might be 12, 1 o'clock we got in, you know, because we had Class A passes. We'd make them get in there and clean the barracks up. We'd do things like that, but we weren't mean to them, I mean, as far as abusive. But you couldn't even do that now. You couldn't follow the troops out now. Somebody would write their mother, and their mother would write a senator, and a senator would, you know, call down there at the general, and the general would move back down to the colonel, and then first thing you know, you're in trouble.
Right. When you heard the Korean War came to an end in 53, that had to be a big celebration for all of you.
Well, it never came to an end, because it was never a war. They called it a Korean War, but they never declared war. It was a conflict. So they never even ended the conflict. What they had is, well, they had a truce, and they drew the 38th parallel. So really, it just sort of hung there.
Dwight Eisenhower came in as president in 53. Any recollection of him at all?
No, MacArthur's the only one we had relations with because he was the one in charge.
Did you ever see MacArthur?
No, but he was really good to the troops. When we were in Korea, I guess I'd been in Korea about 6 months, and it depends on your timing, but it was around 6 months, you'd get 3 days R&R over in Japan. Send you over to Japan for 3 days, and then send you back. But you'd have 3 days. You'd go in, and they'd feed you and give you new clothes and sew your stripes and their deals on and turn you loose. And MacArthur said, these guys are, you know, well, of course, you know GIs. They'll mess up a good deal every time. And get drunk and tear things up. But MacArthur told the provost marshal, these boys are coming out of Korea. You tell your MPs you do not touch those boys. Of course, that eventually had to stop because, you know, the GIs got wind to it and they'd get in fights and tear up bars. You know, they'd mess up a good deal. But he really did take care of them, I'll say that. But I never met the man, never saw him.
Yeah. Didn't he use a corn cob pipe?
Yep.
And then famous for saying, old soldiers never die.
They just fade away.
Yeah.